Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to tonight's July 23rd, 2018 regular Othello City Council meeting. Would you all please rise for a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing upon tonight's meeting and wisdom for the council as we make our decisions tonight. Now, if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Item 1.4 on our agenda is the roll call, and we have Eugene Bain out of state, actually, and Mark Snyder had some, something like that. He had some surgery, and so those two council members won't be present, so I would entertain a motion to excuse both Councilman Snyder and Councilman Baines.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And I will, before I announce the citizen input, there's several items on the agenda that under our current business that citizens are here, and I want to welcome you. You may want to make comment, and so I'm going to allow comment from citizens during that portion, so you don't have to necessarily make it under this next segment of the council meeting on 1.5 citizen input. So is there, having said that, is there any citizen that wants to address the city council tonight? You have up to 5 minutes. Please raise your hand and I'll recognize you. Okay, hearing none, I'll move to the approval of our agenda tonight.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 3 is our consent agenda.
I make that motion. Second.
All those in favor of the consent agenda, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We'll move to our current business. Item 4.1, ordinance to amend Othello Municipal Code, Chapter 2.10, titled City Administrator. On July 9th, the city council met in its executive session pursuant to RCW 42.30.110G to discuss filling the soon-to-be-vacant city administrator position and the qualifications of an applicant. In our executive session, we met to discuss the replacement of Wade Ferris, city administrator, and set a date to make public our process for replacing Wade. Council and I decided we would publicly reveal that process during our meeting tonight. And during the process, I have myself, Sean Logan as the mayor, have contemplated a decision to continue my activities I've engaged in as the part-time mayor of Othello, and in addition, assume the responsibilities of the city manager, whereby I would take the full responsibility of both of our roles in the city. Now, this decision has been carefully considered, and it makes sense. I'm aware of the projects the city is currently in the middle of, and I have a relationship with the city employees. I have the experience and background to effectively fulfill these responsibilities, and I have support from both staff and city council. A little bit about my qualifications. I was born here in Othello, and I grew up and attended schools from kindergarten through high school, and I graduated from Othello High School in 1978. I attended college in Elmsburg at Central, where I earned a Bachelor of Science degree in Business Administration and a minor in Spanish. After moving back to Othello, I became involved in the community, and some of my volunteer activities included Little League, JCs, the Library Board, Community Schools Board, and I was also a four-term president of the Othello Chamber of Commerce and have served on the Beautification Committee, among other committees. I started my insurance business in 1983, and I've just completed 35 years in business last month. I've managed many employees and provided a great service to the community. I began my political life in 1990, and I served on the Othello City Council for 3 years. And after that, at the age of 34, I was elected Adams County Commissioner and was, at that time, the youngest county commissioner in the state of Washington. For the past 4 years, I've been the mayor of Othello, and I've worked with the city council with a shared vision and with the staff to solve a myriad of issues in the city. Water supply, growth, and development, and creating a comprehensive plan for the community. Our goal, myself and the council and our staff, is a city with amenities that brings business, ideas, and improves our quality of life. Since becoming mayor, Othello's received in excess of $7 million of outside grant money to continue to solve pressing needs. I've spent considerable time to develop political contacts and influence in state government, spending a lot of time in Olympia, in meetings and various political functions in our area. I'm spending time with our local elected officials and partners to build a coalition that will bring a common vision, goals, and direction for the community of Othello. The city's in the middle of some very important projects that are critical to our future. Development issues, water issues, development of both the residential and commercial areas and districts, attracting business, developing amenities that attract tourism and people to the city. Therefore, the City Council has before them tonight a proposal to change our city ordinance to allow for the mayor to assume the full-time duties of the city administrator in addition to the duties that the mayor performs today. So that would bring up a couple questions if I'm a citizen. First of all, what are you going to do with your business, Sean? How are you going to run your business and also be a full-time mayor? So I'm currently in negotiations with my business, and I fully intend to sell my property and casualty business based in Pacific Insurance. I've been in business in Othello for 35 years. That doesn't happen overnight, but I'm in that process. The next thing would be, well, what are we going to pay you, Sean, to be the mayor? That'd be a question I would want to know. Well, the full-time mayor will be performing not only city manager's functions, but will also be responsible for the functions which I currently perform as the part-time mayor, developing relationships, gaining political influence, and seeking out development and investments into our community, working with state agencies and staff and consultants to leverage our opportunities. Salary and benefits should be in the range of what the city manager and the part-time mayor currently earn. The authority to set the mayor's salary and benefits rests with the Independent Salary Commission, and they will convene after this ordinance is approved to set the mayor's salary. So this change is to a full-time mayor is significant because it's a change of government that we've had for since the early 1990s. It's important for the council and the community to know that it's not permanent, and it could be changed by a majority vote of the City Council in the future. The City Council retains that authority to decide that issue. If the city ever elected or the current mayor ever decided to become rogue, the City Council has the authority and the ability to rein that mayor in and bring and make a change from a full-time to a part-time. So with that, I would now like to call upon Kelly Conkright. Kelly Conkright is the city attorney for Othello and legal counsel. And Kelly, do you have any comment about this ordinance and about these changes?
Well, yeah, I have some brief comments and happy to answer any questions anybody may have. The first comment is just a clarification from your statement, as because I think you may have just misspoke and certainly unintentionally, but no decision has been made to make this change. Staff was directed to investigate what it would take to do that change, to affect that change if council so wanted. And so I drafted the changes to the city administrator ordinance that I believe captures the intent of what is being proposed tonight, but we can certainly go through it and explain it. The other thing I'd like to mention too is the city is a council-mayor form of government. Just generally, broad speaking, cities have two types of government that they can have. They can have a council-manager form of government or a council-mayor form of government. And a manager form of government, the chief executive officer of the city is the manager, which is appointed by the council, and they're subject to the supervision of the council. What's different about a council-mayor form of government is that the mayor is the chief executive officer of the city and holds all the powers that a city manager would hold in a council-manager form of government. Council-mayor forms of government also authorize the city to hire city administrators, and that's what Othello has done for several years. And so while this is a move from the way the city has had the administrative head of the city, it's certainly within the powers of the city to do under its current base form of government. So in case anybody had concerns about that or anything, we don't need to change the type of government structure that Othello is. We don't have to go back and change it from, you know, to council mayor form of government, because we're already there. So it's just formalizing that the mayor is going to be exercising the duties that the revised code of Washington already gives to the mayor, but under our government has delegated to the city administrator. So I think those are my comments. Certainly happy to answer any questions as they come up.
Okay, thank you, Kelly. This time I allow the city council then to comment.
No, I like the draft. The draft is good. I just like to reiterate that I proposed this 3 years ago when Wade first let us know that he was looking for alternative, places to relocate to. The reason I support it is we have individuals that put their name out there to be elected as a mayor of this city and spend a great deal of time and effort of their own personal time to be the mayor of this city. They should be able to be fully invested in the city. There is no one else that is going to, in my opinion, work harder to develop this city than an individual who is actually the mayor and can actually do something to run the city. So, again, 3 years ago, I suggested this. I was the one, I think, that suggested it again to Sean that we do this. We got 3 years left in our terms after December, so we've put ourselves out there for the public, for the people of this city, and we do a lot more than what we get compensated for in making decisions for the community. And hopefully we're making the right decisions. I've on several occasions talked to people and they appreciate and like what we're doing. So I'm all for this. There's no reason not to do this, in my opinion.
And you know, I never thought about it 3 years ago, but I'm 100% for it right now.
I like the idea myself. I mean, you're going to be performing all the duties of a city administrator. I mean, you've been here all your life. I think you care for the city, and that's most important. I'm not talking bad about anybody that comes in, but a lot of people that come in to a small town like this, they use it as a stepping stone. You know, they come here and they find bigger jobs. There's nothing wrong with that. We all do that in our life. But you care for the city, and that's a big plus. You performing as a city administrator and as a mayor, you know, would there be any kind of conflict of interest in any form or shape?
Not if he's getting rid of his business.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I just heard from, you know, because I've been asking around for, you know, because I like the idea. And so if your business does sell, would you take the position full-time at one time and leave your position as a mayor, or would you like just leave it as it is?
I'd do both.
I like it.
Yep.
I like it. I really do. I think it'd be good for the city.
Thank you.
Yeah, I fully support this too. I believe that Sean has a very distinct vision for our city, and he's been a driving force for us in the last few years when we have made so many contacts and we came up with our plans for the water, and we've gotten a lot of grants and monies to move forward with those plans. And I think that he's the one that should be at the helm to continue to drive us forward toward, you know, the completion of that vision. So I am fully in support of this.
Thank you, Janet.
Corey?
I'm also in support 100%. At this point, with you as a mayor, I support it 100%. The experience you have with the city, the experience of all the projects that's been completed and that's working on, and probably the biggest thing is the dedication. I don't know anybody who's more dedicated in the city than what you are.
Thank you.
So yeah, I'm 100% behind it.
Terrific. Thank you.
This time I'd allow for our citizens to comment. If there's anybody here who would like to make comment about this potential change to the city ordinance, please raise your hand and I'll have you step to the microphone and you can address the council. Is there anyone?
Dale.
My name's Dale White. I live at 848 Juniper here in Othello. I served on council a number of years, and I appreciate what everybody's doing. And I do appreciate Sean and what he has done for the city. I've known him since he was a small child. And I think he's doing a good job. There's a couple of things that is brought to mind. And one is there's a reason government works at a slow pace. And that reason is to think things through and hash it out with the constituents and amongst yourselves to make sure that you're all in alliance with what's going on. There's nothing wrong with doing it a little slower and thinking things through. I have a lot of questions that comes to mind of how you will separate the mayor from the administrator when you become one. The election, the termination, and I don't want to, that doesn't sound right, it's termination, but the if you leave suddenly, you leave the city with two positions open rather than one. And I'm not for sure, without studying it a lot more than what I have done, because it's just come up and it's not been discussed a great deal, I don't think, with anybody, or I haven't heard it being discussed. And I do think that there's a reason to do what you're doing, but I would like to hear it presented into the community and let the community have a little more input on what's happening. Again, I appreciate what you've done, and I'm not saying that I'm for it or against it. I'm just saying that I would like to have a little more time to look at it and really read the fine prints in it. I was here when we changed from elected clerk treasurer to the current form of government, and which made a great improvement over what we've done. And this may make a great improvement also. I don't know. But I think it's time to step back and look at it for another week or 2 weeks. It's not going to go away. Government's going to be here and everything's going to be done. And I would ask the council to take a slower look at it and make sure that this is where you want to go. And then make your decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to comment? Dave Sproul.
Davis Burl at 862 South Crestline Road. I've known Sean for quite a while. I appreciate him because he's very approachable. And we see him around the town. We see him at beautification meetings. We see him at many things that he's probably would rather maybe be home with his wife, but he's there. And I appreciate that. And I also appreciate the efforts he's made at Olympia. He's known over there. And I think that really has helped the city. And so I'm certainly in favor of this.
Thank you, Dave. Is there anyone else? Okay.
So I do have a question real quick. This ordinance is not appointing you, right? Correct? It just gives us the ability to do that.
Kelly?
That's correct. Yeah, you're changing the, if you approve this, you would be changing the ordinance that, to where the council could elect by majority vote, or vote by majority vote, to have the current mayor fill that role of the city administrator. So if you were to pass this ordinance, whenever, whether you pass it tonight or later, it would require a second vote under the ordinance once it goes into effect to have the city administrator function performed by the mayor. Okay. Yeah, there's a two-step process, that's correct.
And at any point in time, we can do the opposite. We can, with a majority vote, we can decide we want to reappoint a city administrator and go the opposite direction.
Correct. And I built that safeguard in there primarily because you can't control elections and you don't know the qualifications of an individual to be mayor. And so if the city council were to feel that it's in the best interest of the city for a professional city administrator to perform those functions, they could do so.
So at that point in time, we would go back to a city administrator part-time mayor, correct?
Correct. Correct. Yeah. And so that's the check and balance that I yes. built into the ordinance.
Yeah.
Real quick, Sean, is there a stipulation in the law that you have to advertise for a public job? Or can you, there's something within that that I'm not sure of that might enter into here, and I hate to come across with that.
Well, yeah, I don't know about for a public job, but it wouldn't be, if the council voted to have the city administrator functions performed by the mayor, then he's up for election. You know, just like, and that would be an election, just like any other election. It would just carry with it more consequences for the city. But if you have a city administrator position, then you know you just follow the normal rules for that. If it's an employee position. Right. Well, that's true, and that's for the. That's a good point. Under the current ordinance, the city administrator is appointed by the mayor with the approval of the city, or with approval of the council. And so, you know, I guess it, actually, Dale, to answer your question, I'm not aware of a requirement that you post that type of job, but I can't say that there isn't one. I can certainly look into that, but I do know that if the council voted to have the mayor perform all those functions of the typically done by the administrator, there would be no such requirements. It'd just be an elected office position.
Okay. So, with those clarifications, if this ordinance is before the council, you have several options. You can approve the ordinance, which still would require a second council vote to approve the mayor in that position, or approve me, as it were, in that position. That would still give residents two more weeks to comment now that the plan has become public. And yet it would not require the council to make that decision. it could still make a decision that it wanted to retain its current form of government. That's one option before you tonight. Other option is that you want language changes that you want Kelly to work on to bring it back, or you can opt to decline and keep it exactly the way it is. So that's what's before you. And having that information before you, I would entertain any motions that you want to bring to the floor.
I'd like to make the motion to approve the changes to the ordinance and then take the vote in 2 weeks, and that would allow the public enough time to contact us or make their views be known, and then we have the vote at the next council meeting.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any further discussion? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, council.
Mayor?
Yes.
You know, it will be effective. This ordinance will be in full force by the after it's passed. It will be announced in the news people August 1st and Friday. After that, it's August 6th.
Terrific. Thank you. The next item on our agenda, 4.2, is the Adams County Solid Waste and Moderate Risk Waste Management Plan Interlocal Agreement between Adams County and the City of Othello. This is the ordinance accepting the Solid Waste and Moderate Risk Waste Management Plan. And committee has, we discussed this in council, and the committee has met a number of times, and now Wade is going to give us the latest version here.
The latest version, but
yes.
Council, especially the committee, I'd hope to bring us to closure tonight. It ain't going to happen. But what I do want to put in front of the council tonight is a couple of options that I discussed with the Public Works Director this afternoon up in at the county. And it's pretty much what we had talked about before. And he says that he thinks they'll be open, the commissioners will be open to two options. One is a 5-year contract instead of a 10 with an additional 5, or a 10-year contract with the option to do, you know, if you want to get out of it with a year's notice. So, hey, let's say theoretically that they decided to raise rates to some exorbitant amount, and you guys said, whoa, wait a minute. At that point, you say, 1 year from today, we're going to leave this contract. So I guess my question to you, you guys, what I want you to do now is just discuss this, especially Corey and John, and talk to the other council members about what we discussed, perhaps, and if these are, you know, good options for you to do. And then Kelly can chime in with his thing. And so what will move forward is what you guys decide you want to move forward with. And then Kelly will discuss that with their the prosecutor up there, who's their lawyer, and come back in a couple of weeks with, here's the contract. They'll modify it. One of those two ways is what I got from Todd. With that, I'll open a discussion for you guys.
Uh-huh. Is there any comment from the committee first?
So there's two options available from Todd. First option is it's a 5-year contract with no opt-out.
That's the impression I got from him.
Okay. And then the second option is a 10-year contract with an opt-out.
Clear language.
Year by year.
Yeah.
So if we, in my opinion, signing the 10-year with the 1-year opt-out would be the best, because we could do it within a year of being in it. What it is it's a comprehensive management plan for solid waste, and the county goes out to all the cities within the county and says, now if you want to be a participating member of our comprehensive plan as a municipality, then you're locked in with us, basically. And you're going to accept what we say you're going to do and do it the way we want you to do it. And we're kind of concerned because the tipping fees at Adams County Transfer Station today are $78 a ton. Now, there's a lot of area landfills that the cost for that is a lot less. But it's a matter of getting it there that's going to cost you. But at some point in time, if the county doesn't get a handle on what their costs are going up tremendously, and if they don't get a handle on it, our costs are going to go up in the city, because we got to recover the amount that we have to spend to get rid of the garbage.
You hit it right on the head. Basically, this is a contract we're going to have to sign. I just don't see, financially, it doesn't make any sense. If we don't sign the contract, we're looking at a huge bill to build our own comprehensive plan. Adams County dumped $75,000 on this plan. I'm not at the point where I want to spend $75,000 on a comprehensive plan. I really like the idea of a 10-year contract with a 1-year exit plan. I think that's the best thing I've heard about this contract.
Let me confirm this. That's what I wrote down, Corey. But we'll have Kelly get in contact with their prosecutor, if he's their attorney, and make sure we get the lines correct, and then bring that back to you to make sure that's what he said was what they really meant to say. And that's what I wrote down. That's the option you guys have before you. It sounds like you guys want to go with a 10-year with an option to, with 1-year notice.
Yep.
Get out. So you sign it. And as I told Todd, you guys aren't really ready for, you know, the concern was that we would sign it and then immediately say, we want out of it. Well, I said, we're not ready as a city to do that. And so don't worry about it at this point. And I believe I spoke correctly in that. And I also emphasized to him the rates would be a driver for that. And if the rates remain reasonable, then you guys will probably stay with them. There's no reason to. But if they went up to 90 or 100 bucks or whatever, a different story. Anyway, that was the discussion I had. So it sounds like you guys want Kelly to proceed with the contact and the prosecutor and hammer that language out to adjust that contract.
Okay. Thank you. And item 4.3 on our agenda is the off-street parking and accessory dwelling units discussion and setting of the public hearing for Monday, August 13th. Our community development director, Ann Henning. Ann.
Good evening. All I'm asking tonight is for you to set the public hearing, but I didn't want to, usually that would be on the consent agenda, but I didn't want to just spring that on you, okay, we're setting hearing, and because I know that especially the accessory dwelling unit is a controversial topic, and so I didn't know if you would want to have discussion ahead of time. So I guess that's what I'm asking. I'd like you to ask you to set the public hearing, but also give me some direction if you want to have, we could talk about it at the next meeting, we could talk about it tonight.
So why don't we fulfill her request first? Let's set the public hearing. I need a motion.
I'll make a motion to set the public hearing for August 13th, 2018.
Second.
This for off-street parking?
Okay.
And for?
Little.
The accessory dwelling units, okay. Any further, we have a motion made second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Does council want to discuss this tonight, or do you want to save your comments for the public hearing?
No, I'd like to give comment on it.
Go ahead.
I attended, and I brought this up before at the last council meeting. I attended the Planning Commission when they were looking at moving this forward to send to the council. And there's the way they've structured the new ordinance to deal with this, if we accept it, is there's a percentage of the lot.
And that's in the existing code. There's lot coverage standard in all the residential zones of maximum 35% for all the buildings on the lot.
So you know, my concerns were when listening to them and the concerns I voiced at the Planning Commission meeting was that you know, that they got to maintain 5-foot setbacks from all property lines, that that they have to have their own access and have off-street parking for those units, at least two cars, right?
Per unit.
And that, now, Chris was actually, he felt that the unit that was being built next to the home, that it had to be an owner-occupied home. And I kind of agree with him. I agree that there has to be vested interest in that property and maintaining that property to provide, you know, a dwelling for someone else to live in. Because if you leave it up to the renters, the people that you're putting in there to take care of things, it's going to turn, you know.
Well, how about this? How about somebody decides they're going to buy a bunch of these single-family dwellings, and then in each one they're going to start putting up accessory units,
well, see,
in
the,
one, and then they can do it to make money.
Yeah,
the flip side is that someone, because these are only proposed in R2, R3, R4, so someone could already build duplexes and
But then they are building them as duplexes.
There is a difference in size between duplexes and accessory units. Accessory units are generally a lot smaller. And I believe that when you give them the ability, the owner occupancy requirement, that the owner could live in either the smaller unit or the main unit. And I believe that the intention for the owner occupancy was for the R2 only, which would be in mainly single family dwelling neighborhoods.
Yes. Although they happen to be built as single family neighborhoods, although they could all be replaced by duplexes.
Yeah.
Because they're zoned R2.
So in somewhere in your description or in this verbiage, you were explaining it as affordable housing. I do not want this to become low-income housing, where they could apply for and qualify for low-income housing.
I don't think that'll work, because it's going to be privately owned by somebody. So that's not going to. I don't think that'll.
Well, I don't want the housing authority to buy up units and build other units next to them, and say we're looking at doing this in an area and creating low-income housing for this area. I don't want to see that happening with this. Because the other two individuals on the Planning Commission were actually looking at this as an investment opportunity. You know, somebody could look at this as a means of investment, to where you go out and buy about five houses, put on second units in each one of these five houses, and now you've doubled your income from what you could get for renting those houses. But then if nobody takes care of them, you know, and just they're left up to the renters to do, I see that in my own neighborhood, and I don't like it.
You also have density issues of how many people live in a particular area. You have,
that's the worst one right there.
You got a two-bedroom house.
Families in a house.
You got a two-bedroom house, and you got
cars
four
around
cars.
The house. It just doesn't look good.
You got four cars in the driveway for a two-bedroom house. You know, I mean.
And if we're going to allow this, it's going to happen. Because we're, you know, there's a shortage of homes here and rentals. So I know homes that have three families in them.
Yeah.
We had, when we opened our third house, you know, one of the guys had three families in there. I says, read your HOAs, buddy. You can't have them. But they were doing it already, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So.
I believe that this is a very well-crafted ordinance that the Planning Commission has sent to us. My only exception with it is that I believe that the R2 should have the owner occupancy. And other than that, I think that they've done a very good job.
With regard to accessory dwelling.
Mm-hmm. With regard to the accessory dwelling.
You know, that kind of makes it, how are you going to enforce that?
Through our codes.
Well, I understand
and
that.
Code enforcement officer will do that.
Go around and babysit everyone.
That's true. What he's saying right there. How are you going to enforce it? Once it's done, we don't have the manpower to do it. We don't enforce that.
you know, when it comes to be a problem, you can check on the problem one.
Yeah.
So there would inevitably be some that would fall away from that, but I think
there
that
would, one of them would have to have some kind of, and obviously they're going to be able to prove that they own the property, so.
Typically, what happens is you require them to record a covenant that goes with the land that states that the owner has to live in one of the units. And so then that's on the title. The new owner would be aware, but it is a little bit of an enforcement.
Well, the owner has to live in that property if they want to have a second dwelling then.
If that's not how it's written right now, but if that's is added in.
And the only one that I would think that needs to be applied to is the R2, where you've got more single family homes. Yeah, yes, you can have duplexes, but duplexes, like I said, are a little bit different. They're both more equal sized units, whereas an accessory dwelling is generally a lot smaller. And I'm not sure, I can't quote off the top of my head what the sizing is that you put in here, but up to 800.
I believe we limited the.
That's the top limit.
Yeah, permit submitted, covenant, 800 square foot.
Yeah, so that's the top limit, so it could be anywhere, I think, up to that.
I think one other thing to take into consideration during this discussion is, you know, that's for construction, right? And, you know, you can't build one unless your owner occupies what I understand the potential proposal to be. However, people sell homes, right? And so then whenever that home is sold and it's bought by somebody, you know, that's, I don't know how you enforce that. You wouldn't be able to restrict the sale of the home to, you know, somebody who's not going to use it as an investment.
The only restriction in the sale of the home would be that if you're going to purchase the home, then you're going to have to live in the home or subdivide and only purchase the home.
I don't know. Yeah. Kelly's saying I don't think you can enforce
that. Yeah, I don't think you can subdivide it.
I mean, you can say you can purchase a home, but you can't put a second dwelling because you own the house.
What I'm saying is that if you know, you're going to sell the home, then that is the opportunity for the investor to come in and not live there and have two units.
Well, the ordinance would still stand that if the investor, if somebody came in and bought the home, they're buying the entire unit and they would have to live in one of those if they want to rent the other one out. Now, if they want to just use it for their own family, or then they can do that.
Okay.
Fine with that.
So what happened to, I thought, a couple of years ago, we were talking about not allowing any more of those little tiny units being built at all. What happened to that? That's what I would like to see. I would like to see in single-family homes a single-family home, not a home and a mother-in-law apartment that's not a mother-in-law apartment. It's just being rented out.
Well, evidently, we have it in our ordinance to where it's possible today to do that.
Well,
right?
I think no. There's some non-conforming provisions that were written to deal with the existing ones that are out there. They're basically making them comply with just basic safety standards.
Is that going on, though?
What's
that happening?
So
are we making them comply? Because I remember, like Corey said, I mean, we haven't had a meeting for the past 2-3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I even forgot what the meeting's called. What that?
The
non-conforming.
Yes.
So Heather, I remember the latest in our last meeting, those, that's what we're right going to do, have them comply, you know, but I don't remember.
She's got an answer for it.
Okay.
So Heather's working on the existing ones right now.
Okay.
Stepping up the enforcement on those.
Okay. Good.
Is she getting help?
Yes.
Is Heather got help? Has she?
Well, yeah. Tim's been helping her.
Who is?
Building inspector.
Yeah, I mean the non-conforming. I mean, there's a lot of issues. They've not been inspected. They haven't bought a permit. There's fire hazard. They haven't been checked by the fire department. They don't have separate water and...
Some of them don't even have windows, some of them don't have bathrooms.
Yeah, so there's just a range of issues that I think we need to deal with those, but we also need to decide as a council what we want to do with regard to those accessory dwellings. I think Corey stated his position pretty clearly. He just wants single-family areas to have a single-family dwelling rather than a mother-in-law apartment that really is more of an investment than it is a mother-in-law apartment. Yeah.
But remember that all of those single-family houses could be converted or removed and replaced with duplexes because they're in, it's not being proposed in the single-family zone. It's only being proposed in two-family or higher. So even though they're currently developed as single-family, that doesn't mean they'll stay that way.
Mm-hmm. But a duplex is different than... A duplex is an attached, one attached...
Right. I don't, but what would you rather have in a neighborhood? Would you rather have a neighborhood of duplexes, or would you rather have a neighborhood that looks like a single family but happens to have additional units behind?
I'd rather
behind.
See duplexes all day
okay.
long. I mean, I see...
Side by side.
I run in valleys on a regular basis, and I see issue after issue after issue, you know, from people parking in the alley because they have nowhere else to park.
Yep.
Well, this would require two parking spaces for each unit.
But there's some that's been built in the last 2 years that had that requirement, and they still
not
parking now.
Permitted correctly, that's what I can say.
Right, no, yeah, I understand that. You know, and I mean, there's right down to, I know there's a house in town that was buying sheds out here at the, off the corner out there at 17 and Cunningham, moved that shed in, and people are living in it now. You know, so it's just, so I'd rather see duplexes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would solve that problem, period. Okay.
All right. Any comments about the off-street parking regulations? Or you want to take that up at the public hearing?
I just got one small question about the off-street parking. On number 26, of 17.61.020, it talks about waivers being granted. What would constitute a waiver being granted?
So if it's an existing building or a new use moves in that doesn't have the space to provide the parking, so then that could potentially still be allowed, that use could be allowed there.
But it talks in here, but it's only for a specified time. Let's see.
Well, after that, the waiver is
business hours?
Terminates or is subject to further review.
Right.
So they would have to continue to get waivers.
Yep.
In order to continue business.
And that's the way that it was set up before, and so that's just changing it from the Planning Commission to staff as the reviewer.
Kind of ran into this situation down there on the corner by the library, the businesses across the street. And we actually did a variance for them so that they could utilize on-street parking for their business.
That is true. I forgot about that, but yeah. Okay. Do you guys want to continue to seek public input and be prepared for the August 13th public hearing?
Good with me.
Yeah. Now these are public, so these are the proposed changes, and appreciate all the work with the Planning Commission and Council, so we'll take it up on the August 13th regular City Council meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've got one question. I don't know if anybody else cares, but what's going on with the red apartments up here in the street? People ask, and I said, I got no idea what's going on there, other than they're cutting trees down and
the pink ones on Main Street.
Oh, so that property's been purchased, and the new owner is starting to clean it up, and his idea to clean it up, first thing, was to take down the trees. He's going to work on the weeds. He has a contractor scheduled to come look at the building because it needs to be checked for asbestos before he can remove the building. and his contractor's not available until fall. But after that happens, then he'll be taking that building down fall or winter.
He's going to take it down and then rebuild.
Rebuilding is probably a few years in the future.
But I mean, he's going to take it down, an ugly sore.
Demo, flat to the ground, yep.
Perfect.
Yep.
You know what's going up then? Apartments or?
He didn't have a complete proposal. He was kind of looking at ideas and saying, well, when I get the money.
Well, has it been zoned? I mean.
It's zoned commercial.
Okay.
So it can't be just apartments.
So it has to be some sort of retail?
It can be retail, it could be apartments
with
above.
With apartment above?
There's a prohibition against that, but it needs to be a commercial use on the ground floor at least.
As long as I'm asking you, then down here at Bingers, they got the two-story, with one burnt down.
Desert Deli?
No, across.
Pick a pop.
Yeah.
Okay, used to be Desert Deli. A long time ago.
Yeah, I was trying to think of that name the other day.
Can you tell me what's going on upstairs?
It's just empty space right now.
So it's not going to be a Chinese restaurant?
No. It's. There's it's kind of as office space, but not really finished and not planned to be used at this point, okay. Just for future whatever.
Those people ask, they're kind of like.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you was on the council.
That's just around the edges. Most of it's going to be.
You're in the know, Larry. You got to be in the know.
The store area is going to be two-story open.
I thought you were the mayor.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Ann.
You got to be on the committee first.
You got to be in the know.
Right, John.
Yeah. Okay, let's move to item five. Is our unfinished business, and AC Rim has a report on the dispatch arrangements the city is moving towards. So, AC, do you have some? Do you have an update?
Yes, we have some numbers and some things that we did. Chief Schenk assigned me to go around and look for some of the options regarding our radio system. The current radio system is at end of life. So we looked around and visited MAC Dispatch in Moses Lake and looked at their system. They use they do not use a Motorola system. They use what's called ABTEC console system. Communicated with them, and I got hooked up with Spectrum Communications out of Moses Lake, and they are an ABTEC dealer. Their salesman and tech, his first name is Joey, came down and looked at our needs. We filled out a wants list and came back with some numbers. The initial console system to replace what we have, so two dispatch centers is from ABTEC, and this is with quite a few bells and whistles on it. So I said, we gave them the High Dream. The High Dream estimated dollar amount was $93,279. In that same time, what we noticed was our, it's called a Quantar radio repeater system that we have upstairs. It's also at end of life. It actually is signaling through beeps that's telling us I've got problems and we're trying to get it fixed. Spectrum Communication gave us a quote to replace the Quantar upstairs at $9,269. With that, if we were to do something like this, we would also go what's called P25. So we would go all digital at this point. So the patrol fleet out in the cars, they can go digital right now, and most of our portables can too. We've got some older portables that would just become obsolete at that point. But our mobile fleet is all ready to go digital. The current Quantar we have upstairs and the console in dispatch are not digital capable. They'd have to have a module, and the modules just, well, they're a Band-Aid, and this system would not be a Band-Aid. That's what it is. And I talked about bells and whistles. That would include panic buttons in this office in here, but also at City Hall. It would run the doors and the windows. It would really give an upgrade to our dispatch center, make it look like a dispatch center. MAC Dispatch, if you ever have a chance to walk through their system, they've got a quality controlled system up there that I really enjoyed to see. Spectrum Communications installed the same kind of system we're looking at for Yakima County SO, and then also for Sunnyside Fire District 5, and some of the stuff up north, I believe, in Okanagan. We haven't had any report of problems with them. So we did look at other systems too that we have here that I can discuss if you have questions, but it looks like if I were to pick one today, it would be this APTEC system. I've talked with Chief Shanks, and the idea with this is all NASPRO pricing and all. This would be something we would ask through the normal budget process.
So that $93,000, is there a yearly maintenance cost on top of that?
It's called Scout Care. The yearly cost for this beginning is $2,500 a year, which is significantly less than what we're paying for our motor roll system. But all that does is give us is software updates and such. So if there's something would break down and all, then we'd be in the money per hour spectrum to come in and fix.
They have a service contract?
That's Scout Care. Yes, and we could get a service contract on the side with Spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
If we wanted to do that. But if not, okay. he charges about $90 per hour.
Probably less than our per hour charge.
Yes.
Yeah. Did we have some money budgeted this year for this?
No.
No. Okay.
No. This came to light when Motorola approached the city and all through Adams County and things. And then we knew that the consoles and the Quantar upstairs were at end of life. And so if we weren't to do anything, we would still have to pay Motorola X amount of dollars, close to $10,000 a year, just to keep our stuff running if it were to break down, or we would be up on eBay buying parts and things. You know, so.
So roughly 102?
120-ish.
Okay.
So any questions and talk about anything? I could say we did talk with a company called Zetron. They do a lot of stuff for larger agencies. They did Columbia County though too. They came in about $185,000, but that didn't include the Quantar upstairs or anything.
Well, I would think myself that we, without communication, the police department's kind of hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there is no use putting Band-Aids on this stuff. That's no good.
I think we've done that.
I think we've got to you get with Spencer and say, hey, dig it up somewhere here. Mm-hmm. Let's go for it. Get her done.
Yep.
I agree. Thank you, AC.
You're welcome.
And is there any other old business? I have some new business tonight. Tonight is our city administrator Wade Ferris's last city council meeting. And so I would like to, on behalf of the council, thank Wade for his years of service here, just shy of 4 years, 5 years, excuse me. And he has done a terrific job for the city of Othello. I have learned a tremendous amount. He and his wife, Kim, have been a very positive influence on the community. And he's done quite a number of different things. One of those was the branding session he did with the Chamber of Commerce. Tremendous undertaking, and he guided that herd of cats all through that process. That turned out very well. He also worked closely with me and council and our consultants on our water issues. Helping to seek obtain funding for a number of different grants. And I think one of the main things that he did is he earned the respect and the admiration of the entire city. And I just want to thank you. And also I'd like to announce that we're having a reception for Wade this Thursday from 3 to 6 here at City Hall. And so I would encourage the council to come and attend and be well wishers for Wade and thank him for his time here in Othello.
3 to 6.
So well, I just
sure you bet.
The council, it's been a real pleasure working with you guys. We've worked through some issues and I've always felt like you guys gave you the most support you could and the staff for doing things. I appreciate that. You know, the fact that we, when we, the staff, come forward with an issue, you guys have confidence we're bringing the right information. That's important. And so I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. And of course, the staff has been wonderful for me. And it's been a great experience here in the fellow, for both Kim and myself. And I'll say it's exceeded expectations of what we thought we were going to experience here in the fellow. We've made some good friends. It's been a pleasure working with the council and with the members of the city. Different projects and different stuff. And something as sort of minor as the airplane, you know, getting that fine thing, that was sort of a custom thing to move. An Air Force airplane thing. But it worked, and we ended up doing it for half of it. Could have cost us a.
And it looks good. It looks good.
And some other stuff we worked on, like the mayor said, and of course the mayor's support. And it's been a great team, I think, the mayor and I, working hand in hand to help bring stuff to fruition, like pulling the ICC, you know, and going to that, those kind of things. I encourage you guys to continue and stay involved with that. I'm sure you will. It's about great benefits. And we built a great team here with our staff and with council. And I think I see our fellow really make some great strides forward as you solve some of the issues like water and those kind of things. It's going to be, I could just see 5 years from now coming back through here and seeing some really super things for Othello that's going to happen. So,
thank you. Thank you. Anybody want to comment? No? All right. Item 7, the council will also receive the department head reports, the compliance commission minutes, and having no further business to come before the council, I'll adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:31 p.m.